Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for every boy, every girl that's here, every mom, every dad, every big person. We pray that Thou bless our time tonight. Father, we thank Thee that we can have a Wednesday night and have our Bible club, and we pray that it would be a good time. Help us to listen really hard, and we can learn a whole big bunch. And we pray that Thou just help us to understand. Pray that Thou wouldst just get the glory through all that is done. We pray that if there's any boy or any girl who does not know for sure that they're going to go to heaven, we pray that tonight would be the night that they make sure of that. We ask Thy blessing on every part. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you remember the Bible starts way, way back in that very first chapter of the Bible with God creating everything. And on that last day of creation, 6 days, he created man. Okay, he created all the animals there, created man. And then he rested on the seventh day. Was God tired? No, God wasn't tired. He just stopped all his creation because it was very good. Okay, and that brings us in Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter. And the second chapter gives us more details about how Jesus or how God created certain things. And I'm going to read a couple of verses in chapter 2, and then we're going to look at chapter 3, okay? So in chapter 2, let me read you a couple of verses. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So God created all of everything we see, all creation. And then He created man. And He put man in that garden, that perfect place. And He gave him the command to watch over it. But He also put a tree in that garden that He did not want man to eat of. Do you know why He put that tree in there? Because He gave man a choice, okay? God wants people to love Him, and the only way you can love Him is of your own free will. You can't do it if you're forced to do it. And so God gave man a choice to either obey Him or not obey Him. Well, so far in the Bible, things are doing pretty good. There's Adam and all those animals, but you know what? There was nobody for Adam. All the animals had a Mrs. Animal. But there was no Mrs. for Adam. And so God then takes a rib out of him and makes Eve. Okay? And he calls her woman because she was taken out of man. Okay? And it says here, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall cleave, he shall glue unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And the Bible says that they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Okay, now, I'm going to ask you to do something special, okay? I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put Adam and Eve up here, but I want you to close your eyes. You know why? Because Adam and Eve are naked, okay? So close your eyes. We don't want you to see them, okay? Are you closing your eyes? Good, okay, all right. Okay, all right. Now you can open your eyes. Okay, we have Adam and Eve there, and they haven't got any clothes on. They're hiding behind the flowers because there's little boys and girls here, okay? So, Adam and Eve there, they were naked. They hadn't sinned. There was no sin yet. So, everything was perfect. But, in chapter 3, sin comes into the picture. You know what sin is? Sin is disobeying God. Sin is doing not doing what God says to do and doing what He says not to do. Okay? That's not a good thing. And so in chapter 3, we are also introduced to someone that we know as Satan. The Bible calls him there the serpent. So Adam, we're going to put him back over here right now. And we're going to put that old serpent there, okay? And this serpent, he was tricky. He was subtle, the Bible tells us. In fact, let me read you that verse. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle, more tricky than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now, do you notice that Satan did not like God. In fact, when you read about Satan, you see that Satan wanted to be God. He wanted to be as God. And then he got cast out of heaven. And then he decided to try to make everything bad. Because he was bad. And now, what does he do? He starts talking to Eve here. And the very first thing he says, the first four words out of his mouth is, "Yea, hath God said." Now, the first thing that God said in the Bible is, "Let there be light." And there was light. But now, Satan, the bad guy, he, in the form of a serpent here now, he comes to Eve. Adam must not be around here right now. He's taking care of the garden. But he comes and he talks to Eve, and the first four words out of his mouth is, "Yea, hath God said." Do you know Satan works that same way today? Satan doesn't do anything different today than he's always done. What did he do? He caused doubt. He attacked her mind. He says, "Yea, hath God said?" He attacked the authorship of God's Word. Did we not just read that God said, "In the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die"? Yeah. But now he's saying, "Are you sure God said that? Maybe just Adam said that." No, God said that. But he does that exact same thing. He causes us to doubt God's Word. Did God really write that? You sure men didn't just write that? No, God inspired the Bible. This is God's Word. And then he goes on, he not only attacks the authorship of it, he attacks the accuracy. He says, "Are you sure God said you shall not eat of everyone? You sure there's not a mistake in what God said?" And you know, there's people today that listen to Satan, and Satan says, "Oh, there's mistakes in here." There's no mistakes in the Bible. But then he attacks who it applies to. He says, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Did you know that the Word of God is for everybody? But there's some people that do not think the Bible applies to them, and yet the Bible does apply to them. Because Adam and Eve are our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-not-so-great-grandparents. Okay? All the way back. We all come from Adam and Eve because that was the first man and the first woman. So you know what? We are all related. We're all related. We're all relatives. Okay? But Satan now, how he works is he attacks God's Word. He attacks the authorship of it, the accuracy of it, the applicability. Does it apply to you? He attacks that. What is it? He's attacking the authority of the Word of God. He says that Bible doesn't mean anything. Well, yes, that Bible means a whole big bunch. If it wasn't important, God never would have given it to us. But it is very important. And what God wants us to do is go by it. See what it says. See, find out what God's like. Find out what God likes. Find out what we're like. Okay? And the Bible describes that. But here it says that he asked the woman, "Has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said, she talked back now to the serpent. She answered him, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Now, what did God say? God had said, "Ye shall surely die." But now Satan is outwardly denying what God says. He caused doubt first. He made her question God's Word. But now he says it's the very opposite of what God says it is. And you know what? That's a lie. And Satan is a liar. He's the father of all liars. And you know what? He's trying to make God out to be a liar. He couldn't be like God, so he's trying to make God like him. And he's a liar. Did God say, "Ye shall not eat of every tree"? Yeah. But what did Satan say? Satan says, "You'll not surely die." He attacked her mind with doubt. Now he attacks her emotions. He says, because God doesn't want you like him. God doesn't want you to have what he has. You know, Satan still works that way today too. He makes so many people unhappy because they might not have what somebody else has. And they said, if God loved me, He'd let me have that. He'd let me have a fancy car, or He'd let me live over there, or He'd let me have all these things. Satan still works that way today, guys and girls. But it's a lie. It's a lie. Here he says, God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and ye shall be as God, God's knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And it says that she gave to her husband and he did eat also. Okay? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what that fruit was. A lot of people call it an apple. We don't know that it was an apple. The Bible doesn't say it's an apple. But what is this called on a man? Called an Adam's apple. Why? Because that fruit is still stuck in his throat. Okay? How sweet is that apple now, Adam, you know? They think it was an apple. We're not told it's an apple. But the sin wasn't eating the apple. The sin was disobeying God. God had said, you're not to eat of that fruit. And what did they do? They disobeyed what God had directly said, His revealed word. They listened to what Satan said instead of what God said. And they did what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted them to do. And you know what? That hasn't changed today either. Because sin is always doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, in the way you want to do it. Sin's that way. So now we've got a problem. Man has a problem. Because now they have sinned. And you know, there's consequences to sin. There's effects of sin. Sin doesn't just happen without any penalty to it. And look what the Bible says. And it says, and the eyes of them both were opened. But they didn't become like God. You don't become like God by disobeying Him. No, no, no. God said, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did they die that day? They started to die physically, right? But they died spiritually for sure. That spiritual death means separation from God. Now there's sin, and God is holy. He can't tolerate sin. There's no sin in heaven. So here, we've got a problem. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Oh, you know what, guys and girls? There's effects to sin. There sure are. It says what? They knew that they were naked. You know, they never knew that before. Never knew that before. But you know, when you sin, you know what happens? There's a loss of innocence. There's guilt that comes. You've never experienced this before, but when you sin, now you know the shame. Because sin shames. And there's guilt. There's a loss of innocence. But what did they do? It says they took fig leaves and they made themselves aprons. They tried to cover their sin. Now, we never do that, right? When mom or dad tells us to do something and we don't do it, or we break something and we don't want them to find out, we'll say, Mom, I'll do the dishes tonight. What does she do? She goes, you feeling okay? No. You start saying, well, I'm going to do this or I'll do that, you know. Or sometimes, boys and girls who've been in church some, they'll say, Jesus, don't let me get found out. I promise I'll read the Bible every day. That happens too, doesn't it? And you know what? That happens with big people too sometimes, you know. Yeah. But what happened? That's not all. They now were guilty. They had a loss of innocence. They knew they did something wrong, and they didn't plan on the consequence to that. A lot of times when people sin, they don't plan on the consequence being what it is. But it's always worse than what that sin that they did is and was. So they make themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Here God comes down to talk to them. And what did they do? They tried to hide. Can anybody hide from God? No, God's God. God sees everything. God knows everything. Nobody can hide from God. But see, now they can't think straight either. They think they can hide from God. Nobody can hide from God. You can't hide what you did from God. God knows. God saw it all. And there's a loss of a desire for fellowship with God. You know, when you sin, you do bad things and stuff like that, you don't want anybody knowing about it. And you really don't start saying, "Oh, God, thank you that I know you. And thank you for being so good to me and all that." People don't do that. They don't want to be around God because they're sinful. They're full of sin. And God is holy. And they don't want to be around Him. So there's a loss of desire for fellowship. And verse 9 says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam." He says, "Where art thou?" Now, question. Did God not know where Adam was? God knew where Adam was. God knows everything. God sees everything. Why did He ask that question? Because He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. He says, "Adam, wherefore art thou?" And look at what He said. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." What was Adam? He was afraid. He'd never known fear before. Look at all these wild animals that you walked all around. We call them wild now. But back when God created them, boy, they'd come up and that lion would purr against Adam's leg. And he wouldn't eat that cat. He wouldn't eat a dog. He wouldn't eat anything like that. Everything was perfect. But when man sinned, that messed up everything. That wasn't God's plan, but man messed it up. So now he's fearful. He's scared. And he says, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Can I read that verse again, pointing out certain words? And I want you to see if you can figure out what I'm pointing out. Okay? Let me read that verse again. Verse 10. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Who's number one to Adam now? Himself, right? I. How do we spell sin? How do you spell sin? Sin is a three-letter word. How's it spelled? S-I-N. S-I-N, okay? And what's the middle letter? I. Isn't that interesting? Who can spell the word pride for me? How do you spell pride? Right! P-R-I-D-E. What's the middle letter of pride? Oh, there we are again. How is that? Pride? Sin? My name is Prain. P-R-A-I-N. That's right next to the middle. Okay? I fight it all the time. Fight it all the time. Okay? But you know how God answered it now? What did Adam say? He says, "I heard thy voice. I was afraid. I was naked. I hid myself." You know how God answers it? Next verse. He said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" Tit for tat. Every time Adam said, "I or my," God comes back and says, "You. You." He says, "Who told you? Who told you that you were naked?" He says, "Have you eaten of that tree?" You see, out of Adam's own mouth, he admitted that he had sinned. Because before, they were naked and not ashamed. But now they're ashamed. Because they've sinned. And there are consequences to sin. And he's trying to hide from God. But God knows everything. And so now, God says, "Well, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten a tree where I commanded you that thou shouldst not eat?" You know what that lets me know? That lets me know that God deals with everybody individually. You're not going to answer for anybody else's sin. You're going to answer for your sin. And he said, and he asked Adam, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And what did Adam answer? He says, you're right, God. I sinned. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. Is that what he said? No. What did he say? Woman, it's her fault. You know what? You know, we never do that, do we? We never do that. We never say, they did it first. Eve did it. She ate of it first. But who ultimately was he blaming? He says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. You know, God, everything was fine till you brought her around. I was doing just great. No sin. But now you brought her. It's her fault. You know, sin not only shames, but sin likes to blame. It's somebody else's fault. You know, Adam could have said, just like some people today say, in fact, maybe even some of you guys say, well, you don't understand. I'm from a single parent home. Well, so was Adam. Or people say, well, if I didn't live where I live, if I didn't live in the trailer, or if I didn't live on that side of town, or if I didn't live someplace else, if I didn't live there, I'd do just fine. Well, Adam was in a perfect place, guys, girls. There were no trailer parks, no projects, no lower income housing. There was none of that. There is a perfect environment, and yet he still sinned. You can't blame somebody else. Oh, there are people who say, well, if I was just taller, or if I was blonde, or if I had brown hair, or if I had hair, you know. If only I was different, as if God could make a mistake when he made you. God doesn't make mistakes. God made you exactly how he wants you to be. But what happened? He says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? You see, everybody is individually responsible. You are not going to answer for anybody else's sin. You're only going to stand before God for your sin. And now God says to Eve, what is it that you've done? He's not talking about Adam. He's talking about her. What is it that you've done? And she says, I got tricked. I mean, she told the truth. She says, the serpent beguiled me, and I ate. I was tricked, but I sinned. She was tricked. But you know why we call it that we all go back to Adam and the nature that we have in us when we're born? They call that an Adamic nature. They get that from Adam. Because he sinned with his eyes wide open. He knew he wasn't supposed to do it. She got tricked. But he did it with his eyes wide open. He did it on purpose. And you know what? Sometimes people just get tricked into sin, but most of the time, if you know any Bible or you know God at all, it's always on purpose. And so now the Lord talks to the serpent, and he says, because you've done this, you're cursed above all the beasts of the field, and on your belly you're going to crawl all your days. And you know what's interesting about that? If you read the Bible very much, you'll find that Jesus is going to come back one day and rule over all the earth for 1,000 years. They got a big old long word for it called millennium, but that just means 1,000 years. And you know what? When you read in the book of Isaiah, which is in the Old Testament, there's 66 chapters and 65 or 8 talking about the millennium there. There's a little phrase that says, and dust shall be the serpent's meat, the serpent's food. You know what that means? Even in the millennium, when everything gets back to where it's good because God is ruling on this earth, that the snake, the serpent's still going to crawl on his belly. It's a constant reminder of how he was used by Satan. So, guys and girls, there's a problem. The problem is that they're sinners now. Does God want them to stay sinners? Does God want them to stay separated from Him? Because that's spiritual death, and we're all born separated from God. You know what God did? God then, it tells us, He says that I'm going to put enmity, that's a big old word, which means hatred or being hostile against someone. He says, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know what that means? That's a prophecy. What's a prophecy? A prophecy is it tells ahead of time what's going to happen. And that tells us about Jesus. Did you know that man, because we are sinners, we can't go to heaven? That's where God is. And no matter how good we try to be, we can never undo the sin we've ever done. If we've ever told one lie, we've proven that we deserve the penalty for our sin. But you know what? We've all told more than one lie, haven't we? Yeah. And when we disobey mom or dad, when we say, I don't want to, or when they say, come to supper, and we say, well, I'm still playing the games, I'm still watching this, I'm not coming, and we don't obey, that's sin. And you know what? We've all done that more than one time, right? And when we see someone else that we know, and everybody says, boy, isn't that a good kid? And you say, well, what about me? I'm good too. How come they're picking that one out? I wish something bad would happen to them. You know what? That happens too, doesn't it? And that's sin. We should never do that. But that's sin. And you know, because of all of that, we cannot go to heaven. So what did God do? God says, I'm going to make a way for boys and girls, men and women, to be able to go to heaven. And you know what He did? He had a baby born that we remember at Christmas time. Who knows the name of that baby at Christmas time that was born? Jesus, right. Jesus is God. But as God, He couldn't die. So He had to become a man. And He became a man, and He underwent every temptation that Adam and Eve went through. And it was Satan that tempted Him too. But Jesus didn't sin at all. He proved that He was God. And yet He went through all the temptations and trials as a man. And because He was a man, He hung on that cross. Because man dies. And He hung on that cross. Not for His own sin, but for our sin. And you know what He says? He says that if you will realize that you are a sinner, if you realize that you deserve the penalty for your sin, and it's your fault, not mom and dad, not where you live, not anybody else's fault, it's your fault. If you see that you deserve the penalty for your sin because it's you that told the lie, it's you that disobeyed, it's you that sassed back. If you realize that and realize that Jesus died on that cross for you, He took your penalty on Himself, and He said that if you will believe that He did that, and He died on that cross, and He was buried, and He rose again, proving again He was God, if you believe that, then you can ask Him to forgive you of your sin and take you to heaven. And you know what He said He'd do? He said He'd do that. Why? Because He loves us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever, you put your name in there, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, not that time, but that the world through Him might be saved. And you know, the next verse tells us that there are people who say, well, I haven't really accepted Him. I haven't rejected Him, but I really haven't accepted Him. No. Because the next verse says, whosoever believeth on Him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You can't be walking a fence. The Bible says we are born sinners. It goes all the way back to Adam. And we prove it by sinning. But God does not want us to go to hell. He provided a way that we don't have to. And that's through Jesus. And if you realize that you have sinned, that you are a sinner, that Jesus paid your penalty, that you belong in hell, you deserve that, but Jesus died for you, and you're sorry for that sin, and you want Jesus to forgive you and give you eternal life, He will do that. How do I know that? Because God says in His Word, with no doubts, no denials, what God says in His Word is that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? I did that. I wasn't your age. I was a junior in high school before I ever did that. But you know what? I'm glad I did that. And you know what? When I did that, you know what God did? God forgave my sin. And He gave me eternal life. And He can do that for you too, if you believe that. Okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to ask the pastor to come up here. Okay? Ask Pastor Mason to come up here. And let me just ask this question, okay? If you're here today, tonight, and this is for anybody in this room, if you're here today and you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven, I'd like you to look up at me, just you, no one else. You say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven." You may have prayed a prayer. You may have walked an aisle or filled out a card or been baptized or go to a church or something like that. But right now, you do not know for sure that you have a home in heaven. You don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven. If that's you, would you look up at me and keep looking at me? Just you. Okay? I will not point you out. I will not embarrass you, but I have some questions for you. Okay? If that's you, I want you looking at me and keep looking at me. Okay? Okay? Let me ask you this. Is God able to save you? Does God have the ability, the power? Huh? Does He? Sure He does. He created you, me, the whole world. He created everything, right? He's got the power, the ability to save you, right? Does God want to save you? Yeah, how do I know that? Because He proved it. People say, "I love you, I love you, I love you," and they never do a thing for you. But God commendeth. He demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. You know, and He died almost 2,000 years ago. So God's able to save us, and He wants to save us. Is God willing to save us? There's a difference between wanting and willing. I may be willing to clean the bathroom. I don't want to. I may be willing. But you know, God wants to, and He's willing. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to face the penalty for their sin. Come to a place, here's the hardest question. Do you need to be saved? Have you ever done anything bad enough to deserve hell? Have you ever told one lie? Ever taken something that wasn't yours? Ever disobeyed mom or dad? Ever sassed back? Ever had a bad word come out of your mouth? Ever had a bad thought about someone? There's all sorts of things that we could list for being sins. Do you need to be saved? Will God save you if you ask Him to? Yeah, how do I know that? Because God says He will. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God's able to save you, and He wants to save you. He's willing to save you. Do you need to be saved? Do you? Will God save you if you ask Him to? How do I know that? Because God says He will. God can't lie. Satan lies, but God doesn't. Do you want to be saved? Are you willing to let God save you? You can't save yourself. When do you want to be saved? You want to be saved tonight? Okay, if you're serious about this, if you mean business, and don't do it just because somebody else is doing it, but if you yourself realize you need to be saved and something inside of you saying you need to do this, then would you get up from where you are right now and go to Pastor Mason, tell him that? Will you do that? This is Pastor Mason right here. Okay? If you want to be saved, someone show you the verses where you could know for sure that you go to heaven if you die tonight. Will you come to Pastor Mason right now? Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you? Will you? Can you come to him right there? I don't want anybody looking around. We're not doing it to embarrass anybody. Believe there's a problem. And that problem is that you've sinned and you know it. And you need that forgiveness. Will you come? If you're a boy will go with you. A man will go with you. And if you're a girl will go with you. A lady will go with you. And they'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Okay? It's not scary. It's not scary. It'll be the best thing you ever did. Did you know that? I've got some children, and they were, all of them but one, were saved when they were very, very little. And if you've been saved already, God promises to give you eternal life. I'm not trying to talk you out of anything. But if you're not sure, you just need to make sure, okay? You come to the pastor. He'll have someone take you and show you out of the Bible so you'll know what God actually says, okay? Anybody else? Is there a struggle going on inside saying you know you should, but you really don't want to? You know you should, and you really don't want to? Eve and Adam should have obeyed, but they really didn't want to. That's the problem. Disobeying God.